So let's get started. So I will talk about this difficult paper by Zach Karoff and about the collapse of laminar waves. So it's basically a story about two waves. It's about the positive feedback loop that leads to a singularity, which the author calls a collapse. So first, wave number one is a fast wave. It's the electron laminar wave. And the wave number two is a slow one, the ion acoustic wave. And they interact with each other, form a positive feedback loop. And this electron wave has an envelope. And this feedback loop basically keep increasing this envelope to a singularity at finite time. Okay. And I'm going to talk about these two processes. Number one is how the inhomogeneity of this envelope acts on the acoustic wave. Number two is how the density perturbation induced by this wave feedback to this laminar wave to change its refraction index, and so change the intensity of the wave.
Does it just change the intensity, or does it create small scale?
Creates more.
I had understood that it creates smaller scale compared to the scale of the wave packet of the envelope.
More scale.
Small scale.
Small scale.
Does it create small scale? Does it change the scale of the envelope? That's the question I get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
This
me basically write down the idea of feedback. Number one, if you have inhomogeneity, for example, if this is a electrostatic field, depends on xt and has an envelope called ext with some polarization vector and a fast oscillating part. And this thing has inhomogeneity, so it will have this kind of thing that's related to a gradient of pressure of radiation, which acts on ions. It acts on ions. And this you can understand by difference energy is like pressure times changing volume, and so the pressure has acts like the energy density, and for electrostatic field, this energy density is proportional to E squared. That's why it's related to the radiation pressure and acts on ion, which causes the fluctuation of ion number density. And that's related to this slow wave. And number two process is if you have this wave, this ion fluctuation in number density will cause electron fluctuation in its number density because it's quasi neutral and electron moves very fast to adjust itself. And then and this changes the refraction index. Of the electron laminar wave, and that will change this envelope. So that's kind of the a whole story, and then this picture will, if you derive these two equations, then you find some collapse behavior. So I'll briefly summarize three parts. So first is, what are these two waves? And then second is these two equations called Sakharov equations. First equation and second, they each of them describe these two processes. And as a simplification, if you take the static approximation, you get adiabatic equation, and it is basically the nonlinear Schrodinger equation. And from that equation, we can show that it will lead to a collapse. Okay, so that's the outline. Okay. So, first, about these two waves. Wave number one is this electron Lanier wave. It's a fast wave with frequency omega larger or approximately equal to plasma frequency of electron. And at this scale, we are treating ions as fixed and static, and they are distributed homogeneously in this in the space. These are ions and the electrons around them. But if we displace this electron cloud, the electrostatic force between the electron and ion will act as a restoring force that leads to this kind of oscillation of the electron. Okay, so let's go through some equations. This is electron number density. It has a fixed part, which is equal to the ion number density, plus the part that can, and tilde. Okay. And electron velocity is static zero plus the perturbation. And the equations are, the first is about momentum. Equals electron charge, number density, and electric field minus pressure. So it's just like the Navier-Stokes equation. And the second one, of course, is to relate this P to the number density. That's the equation of state. And here we're taking to be adiabatic, so it's P equals this, and this gamma is the adiabatic index, which is a ratio between two specific heats. And then we also need to get this electric field. And it's 4 pi charge density, which is the ion number density. Minus electron number density, because the ion density is this thing. It's actually just minus n tilde. And the last equation is the continuity equation for electron. And Then we linearize this set of equation and plug in assumed form of a wave. Then we get the dispersion relation for the wave. It's this one Pat talked about yesterday without really explaining why. This. So this is okay. Yeah, we need to define these quantities. This plasma frequency of electrons squared is equal to 4 pi e squared n 0 divided by mass of electron. And this gamma is just the adiabatic index, which appears here. And this v, thermal velocity of electron, is equal, squared, is equal to temperature of electron divided by mass of electron. So mv squared is kinetic energy, and here we are treating our unit system such the Boltzmann constant is one. Okay.
Can I just ask you one quickie? Is that in relation to the pressure, is that n the total, the n you started before? It's not the n tilde. Everything else seems to be small, but that n.
It's actually n.
It is n tilde.
Wait, let me see. No, I think so. Adiabatic ideal gas is. I didn't write it down. So I think it looks like this thing equals constant. So this V is like 1 over M. Yeah, because the total number is conserved. So that means P divided by N gamma is equal to P. Yeah, I would just treat it as constant. This. And how, that's how you get this relation. And this n is the total number density. Good. Okay, so that's the wave number one. And this wave number two in this story. So at first I was confused by this temperature. So I guess you are treating these two fluids each at their thermal equilibrium, but they are not at thermal equilibrium with each other, right? So are we assuming that the ion temperature is smaller than electron temperature? Because maybe because the ions move too slowly, they cannot equilibrate with themselves with the fast electrons, which have higher temperature.
Also, if for example, if density is low, you don't get much collisional transfer of energy.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Okay. Wave number two is the ion. Acoustic.
What is the result that you usually put energy into electrons in most devices? And otherwise, there is no special reason for one temperature to be different from another.
Right.
But in real plasma devices, you heat electrons. You drive current or, I don't know, make high frequency radiation, which actually drives electrons. And then it's partial equilibrium.
In total, man.
There is no fundamental reasons for slow particle to have low temperature.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
The other way around.
Okay.
But in tokamaks, you actually heat the ions more.
Huh?
You heat, in tokamaks, you heat the ions with neutral beams. And Ti is bigger than Te.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But the idea of one, the heating paid, making a preferential temperature is fair, though.
Okay, so the ion acoustic wave. So this wave is at a slower time scale. So you are looking at the phase velocity of wave between this thermal velocity of electron and the thermal velocity of ion. So in this picture, the electrons, you don't need to follow their velocity because they're so fast that you can just treat it at thermal equilibrium with temperature TE. And you look at the oscillation of the ion. Okay, so let's write down some equations. So for the ions, now they are not fixed at this slow scale. And their number density is equal to still some constant part plus a fluctuation, which depends on space and time. And the fluctuation is much smaller than the constant part. And it has a velocity equal to, because the fluid is homogeneous, so it's, the mean velocity is zero. And the electrons has the same constant mean and another fluctuation. Okay, so the equation's motions are similar to these sets, but now these are for ions. The first one is about the momentum of ion. Density times velocity of plus advection equal force and the pressure. And why? And Pat said this term can go away. Why?
Ti less than Te.
Because Ti less than Te. So this thermal pressure from the ions are negligible.
Yeah.
Because of that. But how about so electrons? Yeah, electrons are homogeneous, so
the
they
don't. Are the thing that support the wave, right? That's why the TE appears in the speed of sound.
Yes.
Right, so keep going and then
Okay, keep going.
The electric field gives you a restoring force instead of the pressure.
Oh, okay. But usually acoustic waves are driven by pressure.
But if the electric field pushes on the electrons, and then it's the electron motion, right, the fact that they're Boltzmann that provides the springiness for the acoustic wave.
Okay, and we'll see that. So the electric field is related to the charge density. And now this difference is this term minus this term that gives you Ni tilde minus Ne tilde. And the continuity equation for ion density and the last equation is what Pat just said, that this electron reaches thermal equilibrium minus energy divided by kBT over T electron, and this energy is the electrostatic contribution, which is minus E times the electrostatic potential, and it's related to the electrostatic field by this relation.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain, so these two sets of equations, they seem to be the same thing for me, that you consider in both cases a population of charged particles
mm-hmm.
Subject to an electric field.
Yes.
And so for example, in the equation for the electric field, mm-hmm. on the left side you have N T lambda. So you've neglected the charge of the
Poisson. For the Poisson equation.
Yeah, for the Poisson equation. Third equation.
Third equation.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it seems like you've neglected here the
ion
the
charge.
Charge of the ions.
No,
whereas
actually,
you put it in the second part.
Oh. So this is actually ion charge minus electron charge. Because
so it's the same, right? Same as on the right hand side.
Yes, they are the same, but this expansion is different. So here, electron number density expanded. Its ion equals n zero. It's fixed.
Oh, it doesn't fluctuate.
So in this picture, because it's all it's fast time scale.
Ions are static in the electron plasma wave. It's on the electron plasma frequency, and you know, ME is less than MI.
Sure. Okay, that makes sense.
And if you linearize.
So, the formal scale separation parameter is what? Saying fast and slow, but quantitatively it means that it is the ratio of masses or what? Just ratio of electron to ion?
So technically you could consider it the ratio of the sound frequency KCS to the electron plasma frequency, and that's going to boil down to mass ratio. The maximum sound frequency is omega PI, which will then be compared to omega PE. Yeah?
Doesn't the PI and the T have to be the same sort of ratio? That always struck me as odd, because the mass of the ions is so much greater, and yet you're neglecting the pressure in that case. So that must mean the contribution from the temperature or something is to...
TI is less than TE. Yeah.
Well, by a lot.
Yes.
How many pounds? 10.
I don't know, you don't need that. The story won't change keeping a finite TI. What will happen is what you had for sound speed before as CS squared equal TE over MI, you'll get a PI factor in it too. But the structure of the wave will be the same.
Okay. So if you linearize this set of equations and plug in a wave, then you get the wave dispersion of this ion acoustic wave. It's actually omega squared equals k squared speed of sound squared plus k squared lambda divided by squared. Yes. And this speed of sound squared is equal to the temperature of the electron divided by the mass of the ion. And the lambda divides the Debye length is squared. Electron Debye length, I guess, 4 pi n zero charge squared. And we are considering long wave, that means this quantity is small. You can just approximately treat it as zero. And this is the sound wave. Okay. So now we get to the Zakharov equation 1 and 2. And in this picture, these waves are treated as independent of each other. In this picture, the ions are fixed, and in this picture, this electrons are homogeneous and at thermal equilibrium. However, if they interact with each other, the slow motion of ion will change this part. So it has some other fluctuation and which will come appear in here. So we'll see how they interact with each other. So, okay, that have of equations. So the process number one is how inhomogeneous plasma waves will lead to the number fluctuation of ions. And okay, so so inhomogeneous wave plasma waves, which is the same as Lamier wave, we express the electric field in this form, because it's a plasma wave, it satisfies the wave equation, which leads to this dispersion relation. We can write it in the dynamical form by replacing each I omega with time derivative and minus ik. This is minus. Okay. The gradient. So the wave equation for this inhomogeneous plasma wave is this equation, just directly derived from this dispersion relation. So that's the inhomogeneous plasma wave. And at slow scale, the effect of this field is going to appear in this ion acoustic wave equations. So we basically do the same thing. The momentum equation. Plus. Minus pressure. However, because this we're assuming this thing plasma wave to be oscillating at very fast scales, and the ions are too heavy to respond, so this term is very small, and it's dominated by this pressure. And this pressure has two parts. The first part is the thermal pressure. The other part is the radiation pressure. So the thermal pressure comes from the hot electrons because electron temperature is much larger than the ion temperature. And for the ideal gas, you have P equals NKBT, and KB is treated as 1 here. So the pressure is this thermal pressure.
But you said we can neglect the pressure in the first place. Well, yes, you're considering the ion acoustic wave, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but.
So in the first equation, you just you did exactly the opposite order.
Yes. And actually, I don't understand the pattern.
Here, for make life easy, we're going to a single fluid picture, all right? Okay, in other words, that's actually a derivation for the ion acoustic wave in the kind of the standard case. Here we just go to a single acoustic wave picture. It's the sum of the thermal and electrostatic energy densities produce the pressure. And the thermal energy is really carried by the electrons, right? So in other words, the CS, another way to say it, if you wanted to write a simple acoustic type equation for the ion acoustic wave, you would write it as a force balance against a pressure, where the pressure is carried by the electrons. That's the point in these things. Right? Because the electrons have far less inertia, so they respond adiabatically to the perturbations, while the ions are slow. The energy field that pushes on things is carried by the electrons.
So would it be fair to say the effect of E in section two over there, the ion acoustic wave derivation, has been replaced by an equivalent pressure in this?
You
in this
can
pressure?
Think of it that way if it helps you.
Right.
I'm not with this, but I mean, are you really? I mean, let's take this literally as written. They've both got VIs in them, and NIs and MIs. They've both. Is it just you're making a different assumption about the frequency?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, if you were thinking of fast and slow modes, you'd make an assumption about the frequency. You're saying, well, look for a.
This is a slow frequency.
And it was slow before.
Yes, still slow. It's going to be, I mean, if I turn off the electrostatic field there, with the pressure defined with the electron temperature, you will get exactly the same answer as before. Right? You'll get KCS for the frequency.
What do you think about, like, you repress that electric field force by the electron pressure, like you mentioned?
Right, the total pressure acting on the system is the sum of the electron and ion pressure. Now, if the ion pressure if the ion temperature is low, then it's dominated by the electrons, hence the TE.
Oh, and I forgot to say that expansion of member density is a static constant plus this n I delta n I, some fluctuation, and the velocity of ion. Like it's only a fluctuating part, and the next equation is about this radiation pressure. As I explained, this should be proportional to energy density. And I actually don't know why this factor comes out. And in PET structure, you have something like, and I believe this is what Pat wrote yesterday. And there's some factor in front of this, which you should.
All of a factor of two, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Okay. So you mean this is a four?
Hmm.
Four. Okay. It's corrected here. And where does this part come from?
That.
Mm-hmm. So this is a factor multiplying.
Well, that comes in the expression for the wave energy density, right? A pressure is an energy density.
Mm-hmm.
So you can think of the electrostatic pressure as the energy density of the electrostatic waves. And that factor takes care of the fact that in the wave energy density, there is a contribution from both the electric field and the motion of the particles in said electric field. And that's what that factor of two means. And that is calculated by some envelope procedure, basically looking at the evolution of rho phi. And then you divide that by omega and you get the wave action density, and off you go.
Okay, so, and the last one is, of course, the continuity equation. Yeah, I think you should derive.
So should we think about this as replacing the Poisson equation for when we go from, when we are in the two-fluid framework, we have the Poisson equation in addition. So should we think about it as replacing the Poisson equation by its large-scale effect or something?
Of course, that you said that before, K lambda divided small. K lambda divided small gets rid of the Poisson equation, and you just have quasi-neutrality.
But yet, in addition, we modify the expression for the pressure.
Well, we didn't modify it, as I said, so for the third time, the total pressure is the sum of the electron and ion pressure and is supported by the electrons here, okay? So you can think of it in the K lambda divide small, if it helps you, you're not worrying about charge separation, so you go to a kind of single fluid picture for the acoustic wave. Right, and you have a sum of, you just have a total pressure and an electron charge density. If you want to feel comfy, you can work out the full crank, keeping, you know, the two temperatures and the Poisson equation, and nothing will change except you'll have a bigger mess. Okay. Particularly in the end, you go to the static limit for the ions, and you balance, if you recall from yesterday, the electric field energy against negative the density perturbation. So all that stuff of the details in the ion dynamics doesn't matter so much.
You're not so worried about the thermal pressure. You're worried about the radiation
pressure. Yeah. What seems a bit disturbing for fluid dynamic souls like mine is that there are many parameters, many small parameters, and they seem to be never ranged, and no systematic expansion is done to see what is the relative relevance of all these corrections, because we started with linearizing, then we going back to nonlinear stuff, but there are also linear corrections which were omitted. So is there a way of systematizing this somehow to see what are the possible corrections, the limits of validity, and so on?
I think the answer is yes, but it's a bit long to get into here. So
okay.
Okay, so let's derive the first equation by linearizing these equations. The first one becomes N0 times ion mass. This is the linear term. And this gives you a quadratic, maybe to be consistent with my notation, this is a second order term, so it's gone. And that pressure. And this pressure, this one is linear in this number density, so and you can expand that. It's P0 plus delta N divided by N0. And the radiation pressure is D squared divided by 4 pi.
So how do you linearize that?
Plug in
No. The radiation pressure. So that.
Okay. I think so. This E is already a perturbation.
It's the perturbation in the radiation, it's the modulation in the radiation pressure. And get rid of the one there.
Get rid of the one?
You're grad P log 1 plus delta N over N. I mean, if you're doing the perturbation, the modulation equation, you don't have any constant terms.
Okay, so actually, by writing the electric field like that, you have already taken care of this one?
Get rid of the one, yeah. It's just
okay. Just get rid of the one. And this
there's like a hat. Well, there's a hat on the whole thing.
Yeah,
kind of.
I think, yeah.
It's the modulation in the pressure.
It's the modulation.
In the radiation pressure. Okay?
And this equation, if you linearize it, it becomes delta ni t plus n0 ei tilde equals 0. And then you move this n0 out and move the part to the right hand side of the equation, you get minus n0 divergence of this velocity. So you can see that you can relate the divergence to this fluctuation in n. So you take the divergence of this equation and then plug in this equation. So then you get a wave equation for the number density fluctuation. So let's do that. The left-hand side gives you n0 mi time derivative minus n0 equal to T0 is as minus
Can I ask another question? Because I'm still confused by all that. So could we see this this thing as a summing the two? You said it's going back to the one fluid approximation. So could we consider this as summing the two dynamical equations?
Why don't you let it go on a little bit and finish this, and we come back for the question later? I mean, it's been going on quite a bit. I think the answer to your question is yes, but. Why don't you clean that up so we can see what it looks like?
Okay. Actually, I think I need to this N0 back. N0 and I minus plus P0 gradient. Of this quantity is equal to.
Well, the equation is actually much more transparent than the equation.
Yes.
So we probably will get to final equations.
I think what he's asking.
What's the self-explanatory?
What he's the answer to your question is yes, but I think we've had enough sidebars for a while. I did say you could think of it as a one fluid picture.
And eventually we get T0 divided by that.
No squared.
This is it's actually the index. That's the first equation, first Sakharov equation. I think you can write this part, P0 divided by N0 is KB TE, and it's divided by MI, and that gives you the sound speed. So this is the sound wave, but it's driven by this gradient of the envelope of the linear wave. Okay, now second equation, which talks about how the density fluctuation of ions feed back into the linear wave. So as I have the density fluctuation ion will give rise to an extra term in the electron density, number density. So this was treated as N0 here, but now you have a slowly varying ion number density, and that's your fast electron oscillation linear wave. And that changes this quantity because it depends on this N0 from the beginning, and that changes the wave equation of the linear wave. So let's first write down this wave equation for the and this part, because it's linear in N0 and it now takes up a fluctuation here, it can be expanded up to linear order as PE P0 plus fluctuation of ion divided by N0. And this plasma frequency 0 is related to when ions are static without this perturbation. So then we plug in the expression for this electric field and find the equation motion for this envelope. Yeah, I think we need time derivative. So the first term is, if you express it in terms of envelope, it's t squared minus 2i omega times first derivative on this envelope minus e omega squared. And I'm omitting this part because they will cancel. and this plasma frequency is 1 plus E minus gamma ETHE squared, and second gradient. Okay, and because we are looking at slowly varying envelope, it varies much slower than this omega. So we can throw away this part compared to the first order. Derivative in time, because we're only looking at the leading order equation. And this part is the, I'll just erase that, it's the dispersion relation for the Lamia wave. And we're here, it's a wave, it's a modulated Lamia wave. So, and this relation is still satisfied. Plus gamma VTH E squared K squared. And that allows us to cancel this term.
The dispersion relation for the carrier.
For the carrier, okay. Yeah, and this fast oscillating part is
called. I'm not physically understanding here. I mean, I understand the math, and I understand mm-hmm. that dispersion relation refers to this linear or Langmuir wave, which is just, you're defining this carrier wave of this wave packet, right? That where all the nonlinearities are going to come in and all the interesting physics, but what? I guess I'm not understanding this physical picture of what Langmuir turbulence is being represented as here. It's a what? It's a Langmuir wave carrying a packet? A what?
I tend to understand this as a Langmuir wave, but with modulated amplitude. But I don't also have a clear understanding about that. Right.
Why is there a monochromatic carrier wave in the first place?
Yeah. Well, because remember the two cases, there's two cases you can do, right? I mean, one is, at least in my view, you can do a broad spectrum of turbulence which you would do by the wave kinetics approach that I mentioned yesterday.
Is this what's needed to make progress?
What?
Needed to make progress?
You needed to make progress, so the other limit is to go to a narrow band and do an amplitude expansion. Those are the two cases you can do.
But the wave kinetics can't be applied to strong turbulence.
Right, exactly.
But this can.
This can capture a strong interaction of the packet. Okay, and to answer your question, what?
You can do any of it, there is nothing about the VK, just spectral and narrow.
Right. To answer your question, is what is the physics? The physics of Langmuir turbulence, I think, it's an expression for strong interaction of Langmuir wave packets with ponderomotively generated cavities. That's what it is.
Physically, it was motivated by two situations. This is, at that time, they were interested in the high frequency heating, which means that you just put into plasma high frequency wave. So you naturally have this wave. And the answer was this wave would be unstable, or this instability would create self-modulation, which eventually create collapse. Another situation is to have a wide turbulent spectra, and then be okay, this spectra would have inverse cascade. This inverse cascade would create a very long wave, and this wave again will be unstable, will create a core. So whatever way you go through this kind of core. But the paper contains everything. I mean, it contains both the limit of quasi-monochromatic and the limit of wide spectra. And we can strong non-linearity.
Thank you.
And then,
How aware were they of the analogy with self-focusing?
Absolutely.
Because really the
proof... He was inspired by this, and he does the line of theorem,
right.
Just citing it, of course. No, I appeared a few years later after this paper was, but it was absolutely clear, and he had discussion in Gorky with Litvak about this analogy, and they were so mad, I mean, people who did self-focusing in optics, that they missed this phenomenon because there was so an obvious analogy. Mm-hmm. They felt like he stole from them this very natural application of self-focusing.
Proof of collapse is basically identical to Tolano's theorem.
Yeah. But the point is that, and I still remember in the late 70s, the people were dismissing this and saying, okay, but this is just trivial transfer of ideas from optics into plasma physics. You can call it this way.
Okay, so let's clean up this equation a little bit. This term is gone, and this one is gone. This is also gone. That, and now it comes a plus. And
I
then leading order.
I remember him saying those figures missed this, and they just had it.
And at leading order, we can treat this omega as omega p0. Okay. Then
for little question. You find out the second figure, and why are they kept in the second space group? Wouldn't that be small on the same basis?
Actually, I don't know. Maybe we're only treating it as slow, but does not mean that it's
so
space.
The other thing is it's an important physical effect of diffraction.
So
right?
You can get rid of the first special derivative by passing the reference frame movement in this, and then literally it's much larger, you're right. You can eliminate it just by passing the reference frame.
Right.
It's a trivial transfer. Right. And then diffraction is a non-trivial physics.
K is the group velocity here, basically, and you go to the frame with the packet and you just get rid of that term, right?
Group velocity is the d omega by dk, and you have seen it's a square root.
So the lower derivative.
Right, exactly.
And you plug in the dispersion relation, you find because it has a k squared term in this omega dispersion relation, you get proportional k. And this term can be treated as advection by the group velocity. And if you change your frame of reference to the co-moving reference of that group velocity, and then this term is gone. But I didn't check the path that it's true. So this term is gone. So we have something simple, which is 2i divided by omega p0 plus and now you can see this term looks like the viscosity term in Navier-Stokes equation, and that's diffraction.
It's dispersive, isn't it?
It's diffraction, not viscosity.
Really?
It's conservative.
It's conservative.
Non-dissipation.
It's rather like H bar in quantum mechanics.
Viscosity is diffraction. Looks like Schrodinger equation, not Navier-Stokes.
So because
equation.
It has this I here,
yeah.
It's not a Navier-Stokes equation.
But people like to think about H bar as viscosity. Just get kicked out of it.
So this equation basically says this fluctuation of number density of ions will affect the envelope of the Lamy wave. And now we have two equations, and they are coupled to each other. And before that, let's first write it in a simple form, which is non-dimensionalized. So we non-dimensionalize these two equations, and we get the first equation. And the second equation is this mass ratio between electron and ion times the shape. So these are non-dimensional form of the two Zach-Haroff equations. And you, so maybe this is related to what Pat said earlier. Eventually, these ratios are important. And that's why the scales are separated. And this is these two coupled equations, and it's not direct and easy to see what physics lead to, so we further simplify it by taking the static approximation, or it's also called adiabatic or subsonic, by assuming this quantity is much smaller than this quantity, and this is gone. And now we have a relation between delta n and this amplitude squared. It's about minus e squared. And you can see that these particles tend to, because of this minus sign, the particles tend to avoid the places where this amplitude is large. So intense electric field leads to what is called a cavern, a hole in this number density distribution. And then we plug this relation back into this equation, we get the nonlinear Schrodinger equation. It's also called adiabatic Zach-Haroff equation. Okay, so for the last part of this presentation, we're going to study the collapse of a spherically symmetric.
Maybe since you've been tortured quite a while, where you can kind of summarize the collapse part.
Okay.
You know, and then if people have special interests, they can talk with you.
Okay. To summarize.
I mean, the dimensional picture is a good one, I think. You don't have to show all the algebra, you know.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so this equation is like the Schrodinger's equation. For example, the Schrodinger's equation with no potential is without this term. And like Schrodinger's equation, which conserves the probability density psi squared of the whole space, this equation also conserves a similar quantity, which we call I1. Let's say it's d-dimensional space. And the psi string function is related to this amplitude E now. And the Schrodinger's equation also conserves energy, which is of the form psi squared Hamiltonian psi. And Hamiltonian has this this moment, and the kinetic energy part is of the form squared. Yeah. And you can also have a potential energy, which is written as this, V. And similar, and the sum of the kinetic energy and the potential energy is conserved in Schrodinger's equation. A similar thing happens here. Minus something like a potential energy. Boundary. Okay. So, and we can show that for a problem with spherical symmetry, that's x, y, z, and you start with some this electric field, which only depends on r at t equals 0, and see how it evolves. Actually, we'll see collect to this origin at finite time. And this is shown here. This quantity is defined as r squared divided by ddr e. So if we consider this e squared as a probability distribution, this is like the variance. So it measures the squared length scale of a high intensity of the electric field. And this quantity, you can show that it can be written as, actually there's no simple way to. Its second time derivative is equal to these conserved quantities. So, and this quantity is positive, so this thing is smaller than this conserved quantity. And you can integrate that, that gives you t squared plus some constant t plus another constant. And this quantity should also be greater than zero by definition. Okay. If this thing starts from rest, actually you can show that this C1 is zero, and you only have this kind of expression. And if I2 is smaller than one, smaller than zero, but I1 is always larger than zero, then this expression can reach zero after finite time. So inequality will say that this variance goes to zero and then everything collapses to the point. And that's the singularity. To show that this actually happens will depend on this dimensionality, because it basically means comparing the magnitude of these two terms as this thing collapses and the length scale decrease. Okay, I'll just summarize the results. At d equals 1, then this I2 is always positive if you go to shrink it to small scales, and this singularity doesn't happen. If d equals 2, then we don't know, and d larger than or equal to 3, then this thing always happens if things shrink to to small scale, and the singularity or collapse will happen.
That equation that you wrote down for the acceleration of r squared, mean r squared, that's an exact result from that nonlinear shortcut?
Yes, that's called Talanov theorem.
That's amazing.
Beautifully.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
The corresponding thing for self-focusing sits in Landau-Lifshitz continuous media.
Okay.
Basically the same thing.
Sorry, the name of the theorem is again the...
Talanov. It's Talanov theorem. Yeah. Even though there are three authors in this table, but it is just called Talanov theorem. It's also in my book.
Are you giving out free signed copies?
Yeah, we can order from Amazon. Okay, all right.
Okay.